seizure.
I have brain cancer. And 99% of the time, I'm able to put my trust and hope in God. But then there's that 1%.
We're just getting stitches out, right?
I don't exactly know why, but not only has the tumor returned, it is larger.
Hello and welcome to the Matt's Movie Reviews Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Pekovich. This is episode number 152. Coming out in the United States in September through a very unique rollout of theatrical run is This Day Forward, a true story-inspired faith-based film that tells the story of Mike Jensen, a pastor and father of three who was diagnosed with a brain tumor at the age of 38. The story is told through the eyes of his wife and caretaker, Jen Jensen, who throughout this time questions her faith and why God has chosen this good man to go through such a harrowing ordeal. A heart-wrenching and thought-provoking independent production, This Day Forward is highly recommended by me. I watched it a few days ago. I really recommend people out there, so when this movie does hit your town, you do watch it. And joining me today is the film's director, Brian Iyer, to talk about the film. Brian, I thank you very much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is, when you contacted me about this film, I found it just really intriguing in itself, the making of the movie. And I wanted to touch on that first. So you're a parishioner at the All Saints Episcopal Church in Beverly Hills, California. You yourself are a filmmaker. How did you venture into filmmaking and doing that through the church?
Well, I've been in Los Angeles now for 18 years and have been a part of filmmaking in a variety of roles for a number of those years. And about 3 years ago, as a member of the church, we sat with some other folks and said that we have a unique opportunity at our church just because of where it's located, that there are a lot of people that are in the entertainment industry that attend the church, that maybe we could utilize those gifts to tell different kinds of stories. So we started with a little short film as a test about 2 years ago, and then the response for that was such that we said, let's take a leap of faith and go with a full feature, and that's where this one came from.
So your first feature is about Mike Jensen and Jen Jensen. How does a director from Los Angeles know about this couple from Iowa?
Well, I went to college with them. So I originally grew up in Iowa and had been following their journey on Facebook, like a lot of their friends and family were, and I had seen them at a college reunion a few months before, and it just struck me that I think that this was the story. And the thing that hooked me about it was Mike was a worship leader at a very large congregation. And the question that I always had was, how does somebody get up in front of 1,000 people every Sunday singing about the glory of God while their life is being ripped away from them? And I didn't have the answer to that. But I was hooked by the honesty of it and thought that it was the story to tell. So I reached out to Jen, his wife, in January of that year and said, we would like to do this. Is this something that you're open to? And it was a wonderful conversation. And then it took off from there.
When you haven't spoken to someone in such a long time and you approach them with this type of proposal, what's going through your mind? Are you thinking maybe they might want to do it? Maybe they will. How's it going to work out? I mean, it's a very unique situation.
Yes. I think from the onset, it's been very important to me to just be honest and authentic, whether it was talking to them or how we presented the film or about a faith challenge. And so I was nervous about it, but I knew that our intentions were good. And so once we started kind of opening up with them, and I could, and rightly so, I think that they had some apprehensions about, you know, our intentions and you know, this is a very delicate thing in their life, and it's something that's very timely for them. This didn't happen to Mike 20 years ago. They're living it right now.
Yeah.
So for them to open up like that, I think it was just a very long conversation. And then I think at the end of the day, it became a therapeutic thing for them to know that there were a group of people 3,000 miles away that thought enough of their journey to shine a light on it. And I think the whole process has become kind of an uplifting one for them.
The film, what I found really fantastic about the film is that it hits on two very, very focal points. Myself as a Christian, having some kind of similar background to what's happening, Mike and Jen, I have an older sister. She had a car accident back 1991, I think. She has really severe physical and mental disabilities since then. So my parents have went through the same thing that the Jen's pretty much gone through. And a lot of the questions that they went through is talked about in the film, number one. Why do bad things happen to good people? Is this part of God's plan? Is this what is the answer there? And number two, which I think you really sufficiently approached here, is the choice between faith and fear. I think if a lot of times people go the fear route and they can lose sight of a bigger picture, there can be a bigger picture kind of there. Are these kind of essential ideas, which are very much a part of the Christian conversation that we have as Christians all the time, is that something that you thought might be part of the story even before talking to Jen? Or was it when talking to Jen that these kind of ideas kind of came to fruition and then they kind of go into the screenplay?
They were there from before we had the Jensens. I think that when we first started conversations about what story or what kinds of stories we would try to tell, before we knew the story theme, we knew that what we wanted to do was tell a story about a faith that was challenged, that that wasn't where you couldn't just pray away the problem, and that people that were going through kind of tough, difficult times in their faith were not flawed people. And so the whole journey started from there. So it was very important to me that, and ironically, the working title of the film for a long time was called When Faith and Fear Collide, because that was the essence of what this whole thing is that it's not either or, I think, in any of our lives, that we all have a mix of both of these. And it's this constant juggling of where we are at one point in time.
You know, I find sometimes one can usually strengthen the other as well. You kind of, when you have that fear, sometimes you look to your faith to kind of strengthen that, take that step forward. That's why I think the title, This Day Forward, is so essential to their story. I wanted to talk about the casting of, so you know Jen, you know Mike, you've known them back then, you know them now you have to find these people to play these people. They're real life people, but they're also characters in the movie as well. So when it came to casting Randy Coleman as Mike and Hayden Blaine as Jennifer, how does that come about? Are you looking for a type? Do you want to go against type? I mean, how do you want to cast these roles?
That was such an interesting part of the journey as well, because this movie was kind of created from a parish in Los Angeles, California. It was really important to us that we utilize folks within the parish as much as possible, because this is, you know, part of their ministry as well. And so a number of the folks that are in the movie are actually connected to our church, which is amazing. So Randy Coleman leads the alternative worship at our church on Sunday mornings. And I'd heard him as a singer and had never seen him act, and it was a real leap of faith. So we sat down together and kind of talked about it. He hadn't acted in 20 years since he got his MFA, and because music is really his life. And so I think there was a real kind of a relationship of trust that became built there of in each of us. Hayden, who played Jen, was a parishioner at All Saints as well for a number of years and now lives in Nashville, but is very much connected to the church. The two other kind of larger leads, the role of Eric, who was the best friend, he is actually one of Randy's best friend, and so that had a kind of instant rapport. And then the role of Callan, who played the role of Arya, the oldest daughter, she was a niece. She lives in New York. She flew out to audition. She's a niece of one of the parishioners. But the youngest, the middle and youngest daughters are the actual daughters. Allie and Mimi are played by themselves. Mike and Jen, or Jen's parents, Glenn and Diana, are both played by themselves. A number of people from the community played roles for themselves in the smaller roles. So it was really this wonderful spirit of just trying to keep it as authentic. We told that to the writer before he started writing, is don't write anything until you meet these people, because we want this to be true to who they are and with this place. And I think that it was captured by the casting.
Speaking about being true to that place, is it true that the majority of the film was actually filmed in Mike and Jen's house?
Yes, correct. It's all filmed in their town, at their car dealerships, in their home, at their parks. It's the space that is real, and we wanted it to be that way, that it wasn't a recreation. It's a very myopic type of story, that it's not a big cinematic adventure. So we brought the story into this small house to hopefully be a fly on the wall in the journey that is their day-to-day life. And there was no better space than their actual home.
I'm really interested to know about the music in the film. Mike's compositions in the film. Are those like Mike's actual songs? I mean, there's some really good songs there. There's one particularly where The character of Mike has a panic attack in his church, and then he comes out and he sings this song called "Love Will Still Remain." I think that's what the song's called. I'm just going by the lyrics of the movie. Now, those actual Mike songs, is that someone else write that? Is that songs that you guys use at your own parish? I mean, how does that all come about?
That was a blend as well. So there are four major songs in the movie. Two of them are Mike songs that Randy just performed in his own style. So that would be Jenny Lee. That's at the wedding scene and then the closing credits. That's a song that Mike wrote for Jenny, mm-hmm. His wife. And then the second Mike song is Daisy. That is when they're on the bed and with Aria and Mike. So those are both the Mike songs that Randy performs. And then the other two songs are actual Randy songs. So the Love Will Still Remain, or I think that's the right title. The one you're referring to, that's actually a Randy song that he let us use for the movie. And then there was another one called Paco's Blues that was in the bar when they get in a fight.
Okay.
That's also Randy's. But oddly enough, throughout the movie, it was really important to us to try to get Mike's real voice in the film too, because Randy kept singing Mike songs. And so every time you hear a radio in the background in the car ride to deliver the baby, or at the bar when the women are all congregating and we hear music in the background, those are actual Mike songs with Mike singing them from back when he was well.
Randy's song, "The Love Will Still Remain," has he recorded that before? Is this the first time it's going to appear in any type of facet?
This is the first time it's been recorded in that way. Yeah,
I think it's a terrific song. I really do. Is there any plan whatsoever, any thought of maybe kind of pushing that song or making a soundtrack of the movie, trying to get that out there, maybe pushing the song so maybe some type of nominations as well for as an original song for a movie?
Mm-hmm. There actually is, and we're in the process of that right now. That's been kind of a hot topic as of late. So a number of those songs, of the songs from the movie itself, will be in there, and then we'll also, as a tribute, we'll throw in some of Mike's songs that were used in the background so people could have the opportunity to have his as well. But yes, that is a big part of what we're doing right now.
I wanted to talk to you a bit about faith-based movies. I had a conversation with another film critic here in Australia, an American-born critic who lives here in Australia. We're talking about faith-based films, especially over the last year or so. You have I Can Only Imagine, the big phenomenon on that, Paul Apostle Christ, The Case of Christ, all these films coming out, Pureflix, you have Sony Pictures, they have their own distribution model doing faith-based films as well. I really find the market out there right now, there's a craving for these type of movies, and you can really see it in the box office dollars. Yourself as a filmmaker, you work in Los Angeles, you're a director, you're a producer. The faith-based market, am I right to see that there is a real kind of thirst for that type of filmmaking and those type of films, not only in the Christian community, but on broader context as well?
No, I absolutely agree. And I think that, maybe there's something that coincides with this kind of very divisive time that we seem to all be living in, both globally and certainly here at home in the States. And I think that at least we, in the creation of this, wanted to try to tell stories that unify people. And I think there's an element of that in a lot of the faith-based movies that are out there. So I think there is a real hunger for that. I think that we felt that a lot of the faith-based content that's generated speaks to a certain kind of audience, probably a little bit more evangelical audience than our film does, and that's wonderful, and those people they have content to feed them. But we also wanted to do a faith-based film that speaks to a more progressive group as well that doesn't traditionally have the content created for them. So we felt like there was an opportunity there to be a voice for people that haven't had a voice lately. And that's been a wonderful part of the process.
See, I think at the end of the day, regardless of whether you're religious or not, what binds us together are our experiences. So I think Mike and Jen's experience as shown in your movie would go a long way in kind of branching out into different people. When it comes to Mike and Jen themselves, how are they doing now? When the film, when we leave them at the film, it kind of leaves them like on a positive note, but of course there's always going to be that struggle there with them both. How are they doing now, and what was their reaction to the movie?
Well, the reaction was wonderful. I mean, that's one of the, as terrifying as it was throughout the process to have them there every day on set with you, because you so badly want to do right by them in this story. The benefit of that is that at least you know that the content is correct, and that there's nothing that's going to come out that is jarring to them. But I was terrified. You know, the first time we screened it for them, it was a beautiful, scary moment, and then we all just gathered afterwards and cried for a long, very long time. And so now, you know, they've been able to be a part of sharing this story on some of the screenings that we've had, and I think they've loved that because they feel that Mike's work isn't done, even though the work that he thought he would be doing in life may be different than he had planned. So I think that they found real joy in that. Mike I think that Jen said that, and I'll get this number wrong, but I think they said that they've done 81 rounds of chemo to Mike, and I think the world record was 49 or something like that. Wow. So it's, you know, it takes a toll. I think that much medicine and that much chemical and that much of that kind of thing has taken a toll, but his spirit is fantastic, and I love being around him, and he just creates laughter. And and you know, for Jen, I think this is an opportunity. I think especially this upcoming tour that's coming up is an opportunity for her to continue on Mike's work, because this would be the kind of thing that he would be doing as a worship leader and would love instigating. And so I think she feels that this is an opportunity to be his voice. Now,
speaking of that tour, we were talking beforehand, you're looking at a mid-September run starting point. You're going to take this film around the country. Where can people find any type of details in regards to that? Do you guys have a website or a Facebook page or anything like that that people can find?
Yes, there's a Facebook page just for This Day Forward is under the movie. But then the website is thisdayforwardmovie.com. And that's about to be updated with all of the locations of where the film will be and where we'll be. We wanted to, you know, we all have lives as well, but we wanted to carve out this period of time where we didn't just put the movie out and put it in theaters and churches and say, go see our movie, thank you. But we wanted to be a part of those conversations because the why this movie exists to us is just as important as the movie itself. And so we wanted to spend 60 days or so being on the road and just engaging with people for conversation afterwards. So she and I will be a part of that, and it'll be all over the country starting in mid-September.
So for everyone listening, This Day Forward, excellent film. It is a faith-based movie, but like I said before, we are all connected by our experiences. Mike and Jen have gone through a very big experience. It's depicted in this film beautifully, and I think, Brian, you did a really great service to them, and I think the movie really shows that. So everyone out there, make sure you check out the Facebook page, check out the website, see when this film's available. Hopefully, we get a release date for Australia sometime in the future as well, so I know a lot of people here want to watch it as well. So, Brian, congratulations to you on the movie, and thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.